Last week we spoke about focusing on the right promise. Many people are focused upon the promise of heaven, going to heaven. And that's how they view eternal life. But as I spoke about last week, if you don't understand the eternal life that is now, and if you don't experience the eternal life that is now, your hope for heaven is not going to be nearly as certain as those who experience this life now. So I want to talk about that, laying hold of the promise. You know, Paul had told Timothy to lay hold of the eternal life. Eternal life is something a believer, you and I, can lay hold of now, not far off in the future. It's something we need to experience now. So I want to talk about laying hold of the promise. The promise of life in the Spirit, that promise. The promise that God's life through His Spirit is made available to us in this world. It's living in the Holy Spirit in this world. It's another way to consider eternal life. Eternal life is living in the Holy Spirit now, in the life of God. It's experiencing the eternal life in Christ. Because the scripture says, I don't have this on the slide, but the scripture says, in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. You remember that? You know, that's why John says, if we walk in the light. You know what that light is? That's the light of His life. If in this world we will walk in His life, we have begun to experience eternal life now. Not sometime later, but now. And that's what I'm going to talk about. 2 Peter actually speaks about this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider this carefully. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now I want you to focus upon what His divine power has given us. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now where is that life and godliness designed for? Up there? Or has He given us all things that pertain to life and godliness here? For this life, what we need to live a godly life in the middle of a corrupt world. By His divine power in us, we can experience, through partaking of His divine nature, we can escape the corruption that is in the world. He's talking about life and power here. So we can experience here. This life is here. It's God's life. It's spiritual life in the Holy Spirit. This is the life we're talking about. And this is the promise we need to focus on now. Experiencing this life here and now. Verse 4 says this. Same book, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. In other words, through His life and power that He's given us, we have these exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is partaking of the divine nature? God is divine. It's His life, His mind, His character, His purity, His wisdom, His integrity. It's His natural. In other words, it's natural for God. We would think, well, it's not natural to us. No, it's not. So we partake of His nature. By partaking of what's natural to Him, His divine nature, we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So through living in His Spirit, we can escape the corruption that is in this world. The things we struggle with day by day. And this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus spoke to His disciples about. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise we need to focus on, which is Christ life in us in this world. And let me assure you, if you will focus on this life, you'll be ready for the next life. You'll be ready for the life to come. But if you focus on that life and ignore the present life now, you may not be ready for the life to come. So, if we are able to partake of the divine nature, if God has provided everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, what should our response be? How should we respond? Like, oh, that's nice. I see it. So I'm, oh, thank you, Pastor. Amen. Preach it, boy. Preach it. Sometimes I just think it goes, or it goes. The very power of God is available to you. Everything God is and was in Christ Jesus is yours. It's available to help you every single day. That's not a yawning matter. That's an incredible promise. So what should your response be? Well, someone who has their eyes open to the reality of that promise, here's the right response. Verses 5 and 7. But also for this reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So a person who understands the promise of God's power working in their life now gives all diligence to take all that's available and add it to your own faith. You're adding His virtue. You're adding His goodness. You're adding His knowledge. You're adding His godliness. It all must come from Him. How do you add this? How do you add this to your faith? And you should be diligent about it. See, if you're lazy about it, I'm just going to tell you, if you're lazy about it, it's not going to happen. Diligence will bring these great and precious promises to a point of reality in our life. So how do we do this? Okay. Let's go to the next slide. How do we do this? By learning to live in the Holy Spirit. Now, we're Baptists, and we need to get over this fear when someone begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about something that makes you run around the room and run into the wall and bark like a dog and jump over pews and things like that. If that happens, that's fine, as long as it makes you look more like Jesus. If you want to stand up here and dance the whole service, I'll get used to it, as long as it makes you more like Jesus. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about living in the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit takes the life of Christ and He imprints it upon our own character. We begin to speak like Christ. We treat others like Christ treats them. We begin to care about others like Christ cares, because we are actually experiencing His life in His Spirit. That's the point. That's what living in the Spirit means, being filled with the Spirit. You know what I like the picture of when being filled with the Spirit? How do you know you're filled with the Spirit? How do you know? Can you picture me as hollow? Picture me as hollow, glass through. Someone takes a water hose and they begin to start right up here at the top, and they start to fill. And you fill for about 10 seconds. Water's come right here. That's good. I've got this much water in me. But there's room for more, isn't there? How do you know there's still room for more? Okay, well, you turn the hose back on. You fill it up some more, and the water comes up to here, about chest high. Is there still room for more? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know when I'm full? How will you know when you're full? when it begins to flow out. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, live your life in such a way where the life of Christ is always flowing out of you. You're so full of Christ. His love, His goodness, His kindness, His patience, all the fruit of the Spirit is continually flowing out because you're continually being filled. That's a reality. That's a Christian life. That's what we're called to live. And of course, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit in that way, you will begin to live your life being led by the Spirit. And I want to talk about that. We need to learn what it means to be led by the Spirit. Because what this does is this allows His divine nature to begin to transform our corrupt nature. So I've got it. I want you to know I'm with you. Every person on every road, let me tell you something. You are corrupt. You're rotten. You're bad. You're weak. You're lousy. Your spiritual strength is nada. Every one of us. And it doesn't matter. Because Christ in you makes all the difference.
Right.
And so it's time we stop talking about what we can't do in our natural selves and begin by faith to lay hold of what we can do through Christ. Okay, that's what we're talking about here, because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. He's not the same old person. I don't care what your great-grandfather was. I don't care what your grandfather was. I don't care what your father was or what your mother did. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you can be a new creation. And then the scripture says, old things have passed away. But that's an aorist in the Greek. It's not even focusing on that it has happened. The focus is on it does happen. In Christ, old things pass away. They do pass away, and all things have become new. That's a perfect. That means it has begun to be new, and it's still becoming new. So it does pass away. Your old things pass away. Your old language passes away. Your old attitudes pass away. Your old desires pass away. Your old habits pass away. And everything in Christ begins to be new. Transformation by the power of eternal life through the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the promise. Our mind is transformed. Our mouth is transformed. Our mannerisms are transformed. So a new creation means this. We have a brand new character. We have a new character. Honorable, noble, godly, reverent, holy, just like God. We look like our Father. You guys think I look like my Father? My Father happens to be here. Some people think, well, they can see the difference. The same kind of nose or, you know, I mean, certain things they can see. Can people see the image of our Heavenly Father in us? If we're being transformed into the image of Christ by His Spirit, they should. They should begin to see less and less of us and more of Jesus. It's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. We grow into it just like a child grows into an adult. It's not instantaneous, but the transformation needs to be taking place. Now the transformation is from carnal to spiritual. And I want to spend some time explaining what that means. What does it mean to be transformed from someone who's carnal to someone who's spiritual? Well, carnal men think about natural things. Their life is mainly about natural things. What they eat, what they drink, what they wear, what they do, what they watch. Natural things. Things that are more physically oriented. Stimulating things that come from the outside and stimulate. Whereas a spiritual man is more affected by internal spiritual life, by divine, his influences are by divine nature. He experiences more of the internal work of God, and he's more conscious of the desires of God within him than he is of his own natural desires. And he learns over a process of time to deny his natural self and actually follow the Spirit. This is why Jesus said, do you realize this is discipleship 101? If any man would come after me and be my disciple, what's the first thing he must do? Deny himself. See, you're denying your old self. You deny your natural self. You deny your corrupt self. And what do? You walk in the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to deny your natural self, a transformation takes place. And you become more and more spiritual and less carnal. In Romans chapter 8, Paul spoke of this. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. This is how Paul put it. For those who live according to the flesh, or to their natural man, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, they set their minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or naturally minded, I'll say, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is life. To be spiritually minded is life. What is Paul saying? Paul considers this. Remember what Paul said in Romans 3:23? For the wages of sin is death. What kind of death? He's talking about spiritual death. So the kind of life Paul is talking about here is spiritual life. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. My words are spirit, they are life. So what is life? Life is God's Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're full of life. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in life. When you're fellowshipping with Christ in spirit and truth, you're experiencing eternal life, because life is spiritual. God is spirit. And those who experience him experience his life through his Spirit. And as we begin to be transformed, let me tell you where a great part of this transformation takes place. It takes place in the mind. Because the problem with many of us is the way we think. I know you think differently. That's what's wrong. If you would just give up the way you think and accept the mind of Christ and allow the Spirit to lead, you would think differently, you'd walk differently, you'd make your decisions differently. Because His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Man, if you come to church and you're listening to someone share God's Word and you disagree with what God's Word said, you know what the problem is, don't you? It's the way you're thinking. It's the way you're thinking. But as you begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as your mind begins to be renewed, you think in a new way. You see in a new way. You choose in a new way. And you act in a new way. All things become new. Life. Spiritual life. Here. Not there. Here in this world. So this process of transformation works. Let's talk about how it works. Where does it begin? It must begin in the Spirit. Now, you notice when I say in the Spirit, you see where I'm pointing? Your innermost being is spirit. The Bible says that we are spirit, soul, and body. So, it begins, this transformation begins in your spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit comes. When a believer hears the Word of God and believes, God's Spirit comes. Now, you've heard it described in church all your life, Jesus comes to live in your heart. Okay, that's the way of saying it. What reality is happening is that the Spirit of Christ has come to your spirit. And that's what's called being born again of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. Christ comes to live in your spirit by His Holy Spirit. That's where the transformation begins. And then from your spirit, it begins to spread out into your soul. Your soul is where your mind, your will, and your emotions are. And then even from your soul, as your soul begins to experience the effect of this transformation, it even can affect your body. Now, you want to see how that works? We'll talk about that in just a minute. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I just want to make sure you understand that this idea of our being spirit, soul, and body comes from the apostles. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul wrote, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the goal is this transformation of spirit, soul, and body. And like I said before, the spirit is the key to this transformation. The soul, I want you to see the soul as the middle man. All right? Here's the spirit. Here's the soul. And here's the body. Okay? The body is subject to the soul. You know how I know that? My wife can tell me by looking at my body, something's going on in my soul. Do you hear that? I can take a look at someone and know something's going on in your soul. You know why? When you begin to be disturbed in your soul, in your mind or your emotions, just like the song, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show. Well, if you're unhappy and you don't know it, still your face is going to show it. You can't stop it. You tell me you can get angry and not be tense in your face. The soul, a thought and emotion affects your pulse. Right? Your pulse affects your blood pressure. Your blood pressure affects your muscles. Your entire physical body is responsive to your soul, so that when something disturbs you, when you're startled, your body reacts. You didn't tell it to react, it just does, doesn't it? If the soul goes this way, the body's following. That's why when you really want to tell someone something, how does it come like this? You know, I really want to tell that guy something. I didn't even have to tell my hand to do anything. But the body will be subject to the soul. You know how little kids, when they want to tell you something, they're so excited. And what does mom do? Calm down. And the voice of mom can bring calm to the body. Because as the soul responds, the body will yield. Okay, so you see that? The soul is the middleman. Now what's beautiful is that from our spirit, God's spirit in us, that can govern our soul. Because this is where we need help. We need help in our mind. We need help in our emotions. Is that what the Bible says? And the peace of Christ that passes understanding shall do what? Guard your heart and mind. And if your mind and heart is at peace, your body will be also. The Bible says a heart at peace is life to the body. Stress is not the only cause of illness. We know that. There's genetic causes. There's environmental causes. There's viruses. And there's other forms of illness that can be spread up communicably, passed from one person to another. But what they do say about stress is stress makes nearly everything you're dealing with worse. So can you imagine having the peace of Christ, having your soul strengthened by your spirit, guarded, stabilized, sound, your soul will begin to experience a much greater natural, beautiful, tranquil rest. Even when things are swirling about you. You know how we know that? Have you ever wondered why Jesus would accept invitations to dinner knowing that the people sitting across the table were planning to take his life? Would you do that? We're going to have a pastor appreciation dinner. Jesus, come. We want to get to know you. Yeah. And yet, I believe our Lord Jesus came to the meal full of peace and enjoyed dinner more than anyone else there. Because he was so strengthened and calm from within. He didn't let the external agitation create the internal turmoil. And those who learn to live by the Spirit, they experience the same difficulty everyone else in the world does. But because the Spirit has had such a powerful effect on their soul, they are far more calm. They're far more careful. They don't react. They don't act out. They don't respond. You see this in experience. We got Elijah here is playing football this year. I imagine even now after several games, you've seen something. And what threw you off at first, you get used to it. And you respond differently. And you respond better. And you improve. This is what happens as we learn to walk in the Spirit. You begin to respond differently, guided by the Spirit. So that your soul is more governed. And when your soul is more governed, your body is going to be calmer as well. This is what God desires. So let's go to let's go to change the heart and mind. So in order for us to experience this, if we change the heart and mind, which is in our soul, that's our soul. And how does that happen? We need the Spirit's help to change our mind. When we change our heart and mind, this will control our body. The Spirit and the soul, like I said, can interact. The Spirit must govern the soul. And then our body will follow. This is what it means to be led by the Spirit. In our spirit, and here's what I want you to try to realize. In your spirit, right now, and it was that the very first day you were saved. It is now, and it was the very day you were saved. In your spirit, Christ is there, and you're one. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is one spirit with him. Christ is there. Your spirit is never disturbed. Your spirit is in Christ and is secure. That's why the Bible says we have this anchor for the soul in Christ. It's the anchor is in our spirit where Christ is. And if there you learn to stay in the Spirit or allow the Spirit to govern your soul, you'll experience the stability. It will be such a blessing to your life, such a powerful witness. It'll bring such honor and glory to God as well. You already have that in your spirit. And it's in your spirit that the Holy Spirit is inspiring and communicating with your soul from your innermost being. Have you ever wondered, and I'm teaching somewhat about this in our Sunday school class, have you ever wondered how you can have two different thoughts at the same time? You ever wondered how is possible? That you have, let me give you an example of how it happens to me. Let's say I've heard a bit of information that was unpleasant. Maybe someone had an opinion about me that was not very flattering. and someone else was unwise enough to tell me about it so I could think about it. You know, I was like, oh, thank you. And so, being human and natural, my soul, there in my heart and my mind, it's stirred a little bit. And you know what, when your soul gets stirred a little bit about some information, you like to think about it. And of course, when I'm thinking about it, I have a conversation. It's imaginary. Where's the conversation taking place? It's taking place in my soul. I'm not saying anything with my mouth. I'm having a conversation about the possibility of how they may have sounded when they said it, or what I might say if I run into them, or should I say anything at all, or what should I do? That's going on. And sometimes I find myself about a minute or 2 minutes into this imaginary conversation, and so from somewhere else in me, another thought comes, stop. This is your flesh. This is not me. Where did that come from? It came from my spirit. My spirit told my mind, stop. Isn't that beautiful? Led by my spirit. Tells me, stop this train of thought in my mind before it runs off the rails. And your lips start moving. That comes from your spirit. Your spirit can control your soul. And the more you allow your spirit to govern your life, God's spirit and your spirit together working, governing your life, the more your soul begins to be changed, transformed. So that's how this process works. Now, here's what I want to say. Those who are experiencing this kind of spiritual life now, in this world, they are the ones who know Christ. They're the ones who know Him. That's what it means to know Him. Now, if you thought knowing Jesus meant that you just believed that He died on the cross and He rose again and you could say several creeds and you've been baptized and you became a member of the church, if you thought that's what it meant to know Jesus, no. Jesus is a person. And when you hear His voice from in your spirit, you know Him. He walks with you and He talks with you. He's there to help you day by day when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. When you know Him in that way, you know Him. And if you know Him in that way, you know what you'll never hear? You won't be one of those who stand before Him and say, Lord, Lord, and He says to them, I never knew you. See, those kind of people, that kind of person can know He died on the cross. That kind of person can know what baptism means. That kind of person can know the Bible's true. But that person never knew Jesus in the interior life, in His spirit, day by day, in a very real walk. That's what it means to know Jesus. Here. Inside of you, knowing Him in His spirit, that's eternal life now. That's here, this life. And this is what Peter says. For if these things, this is back to that very same chapter we were talking about, that we've been made partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the following verses. For if these things are yours and abound, what type of things? Remember, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control godliness, godliness brotherly kindness love. If those things are in you now, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit in you is making those things to abound now. If you and I are experiencing these things now, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why that's good news? Because every branch in me that beareth no fruit shall be done what? Taken away, thrown, and burned. God does not want any unbarren believers in heaven. Or any barren believers in heaven, excuse me. The life of His Spirit in you will cause virtue and knowledge and self-control and godliness and brotherly kindness and love to be abounding in your life. Now, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to the point of blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. So here's what I'd say to you. I'm just pleading with you. It's not whether you believe Jesus died on the cross. It's not whether you believe that he rose from the dead. It's not whether you believe that the Bible is true. Is Jesus living in you now? Are you experiencing the life of His Spirit now? Is eternal life already at work in you and I now? Because he goes on. Because if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what that's talking about? That's talking about then. That's the only verse today that's talking about then. So, what's the key to make sure it's going to go well with you then? That these things are at work in you now. If it's working now, you'll be okay then. And if it's not working now, don't place your hope in then. Focus on Christ now. Walk with Him now. And as you experience the life of Christ now, you'll be ready then. And I like this. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing that God's will for us is to be transformed into the image of His Son. Knowing that the reason He gave the Holy Spirit was so that through His Spirit working in us, we experience a dynamic transformation. Those who are experiencing the dynamic transformation that God has always wanted can expect to hear when they stand before Him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You allowed me to be in you what I desire to be. You allowed me to bring glory and honor to myself through my Spirit at work in you. You became for me an opportunity for the world to see how much change I could bring to a person's life." Wow. That's the goal. And those who experience the reality of this life now, you'll be ready. You'll be well received. You will be well received in that day, okay? That's why it's a burden of my heart. I'm going to ask Armando to come. And I just want him to play. I don't really want you to stand and sing this morning. I want us to have a time of reflection. It's an invitation. It's just a different type of invitation. I'm inviting you to reflect. Okay. Let's take our eyes off of then. What's going to happen then? The wisdom of the wise is to consider their ways now. Is Christ in you? Is His Spirit in your spirit? And have you sensed the working of His Spirit in your spirit bringing a transformation into your soul? Has it affected your speech? Has it affected your self-control? Is it producing joy? Is the peace of Christ guarding your heart and mind? That's the real question. And if you feel that that's where you need some help, Let me tell you the simplest answer for you. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, ask for the Holy Spirit. Welcome Him. Acknowledge Him. If you have the Holy Spirit, and you might be one of those who have this Holy Spirit, and you're just not giving Him the kind of attention He deserves, He'll make it right. I told a dear sister who was struggling on Wednesday night, she just kept struggling with what she needed to do. She couldn't, seemed like anything she tried to do couldn't make the problem go away. Just seemed to, it just kept perpetually, was hard for her. I told her to remember what the Boy Scouts were taught to do when they got lost in the woods. You know what the Boy Scouts are told to do when you get lost? Don't move around. Find a safe place. Be still. Call out for help and wait for help to come to you. I just want you to sit there in your heart and be still. The Holy Spirit can fix what's going on. You can rest. You don't, it's not all up to you. Just ask. Ask the Holy Spirit and invite Him. Thank Him again that He's with you. And you might make things right with Him if you've been ignoring Him. Think of how it would feel if Jesus were here in person and He was traveling with you all day long and you hardly spoke with Him. He's riding in the car and you didn't even acknowledge that He was there. So if you need to make things right with His Spirit, do so. Just ask Him.